Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for you today, as usual. And they all kind of have the same theme to them. In fact, two of them are directly related to the same story. And, Jim, the mainstream media, liberal organizations are drooling as they await the Senate Intelligence Committee's so-called torture report, one that has the intelligence community certainly on edge, and those on the left who don't like some of the things we have to do to make sure this country is safe sometimes, they're definitely looking for red meat in this thing. And as we wait for it to come out, the actual good news here comes from your old friend and now the Secretary of State, John Kerry, who actually phoned Dianne Feinstein, according to Bloomberg News. She's the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, to say, hey, let's hold off on this thing for a few days. I do agree with you that it needs to come out. We might disagree with that aspect of it. But he wanted to get all his ducks in a row, make sure embassies and other foreign installations were protected, because we're expecting a massive negative foreign reaction to this. So that part's not good. But the fact that he actually convinced her to hold off for a few days while we get whatever security provisions we can in place is a good thing.
You can tell we're kind of reaching for a good martini today, folks. Yes. But one of the things that's kind of interesting is this is what happens when you go from being a legislator whose job is to represent your state and or yourself and your own ambitions in that position to being in the executive branch and actually having a department to run, and in his case, the Department of State. If this report comes out and it stirs up the hornet's nest, although like at this point, like, don't we know we waterboarded these guys? Like, what? I don't quite get what the giant revelations are going to be in there. I think that much like protesters in Berkeley, protesters in places like Pakistan and Egypt and Libya and places like that are just looking for an excuse to riot, looking for an excuse to try to attack Americans and American facilities. So we're going to see what happens. But all of a sudden, being in charge of all those diplomats and all those U.S. State Department personnel and all of those embassies suddenly gives John Kerry a newfound perspective on these things. So I suppose I give him kind of a small pat on the back for growing this and for acknowledging this. I think it says something that he didn't understand it, what the Bush administration's approach was until he was in this position. And I think some might say it's absolute hypocrisy. I think anytime somebody comes around and at least recognizes that the issue is a little more nuanced than they thought. Isn't this a great irony? I'm getting to call John Kerry being insufficiently nuanced in his appreciation of foreign policy. It's something of a good thing. Now, we'll see how this day progresses. Maybe the world looks at this report and yawns. Maybe by the end of the day, it looks like the last episode of Homeland, in which, you know, U.S. diplomatic personnel came under attack. So what I'm continuing to be baffled by, this is kind of just a natural segue to our bad martini, Greg, I don't see what the U.S. gets, what of our interests is advanced, or how it helps anyone to put out this report now.
Yeah, well, let's do exactly that and go to the bad martini. Jim, you and I are too young to really remember the CIA getting raked over the coals in the 1970s on the Church Commission. We've certainly read about it and learned about it since that time. But that was a devastating time for our intelligence community. It took a long time, the Reagan administration, a big part of that, to bring it back into the prestige that it deserves and have their work honored and funded and valued. And now, obviously, that community was once again put on the front lines right after 9/11. That took a lot of heat for allowing 9/11 to happen in the first place. And so they were bound and determined to make sure it didn't happen again. Now it's this firestorm once again. And so, again, what we get out of this, as you mentioned before, remains a mystery, particularly when a lot of this has come out in previous studies.
You know, I'm looking at the a CNN quotes from a official briefed on report. Says it will provide ugly new details of the CIA program, a portrayal of a haphazardly assembled program. Well, no kidding. And there's other words I could have used there. No kidding, Sherlock. There's this thing called 9/11. Nobody saw that coming. So all of a sudden, the United States needed a way to get information out of captured terrorists. And this is something we are still struggling with. You still see this in depicted in pop culture, whether it's 24 or, as I mentioned, Homeland earlier, or various shows. What do you do when you have somebody who knows something, information you need, How do you get him to talk? Are there times where you have to go up against your conscience? Do you have to do things that strike you as wrong? And are there certain lines you don't cross? And I think it's a very fair debate to have, but I can't quite wag my finger that much at CIA personnel back in 2002, 2003, 2004, who are in charge of protecting us, stopping the next 9/11. Well, undoubtedly, they had to make this up on the fly. There was no rule book set out for this. There was no established, system of scholarship to say, here's how you interrogate people in a way that would be morally acceptable 10 years down the road. I'm really kind of baffled by this idea. And what I really don't quite get is why the administration, and for that matter, Democrats in the Senate, are so eager to bring this back up again. It seems like an effort to play the blame Bush card one more time. But look, it's nearly the end of 2014, all right? We've had Americans beheaded by ISIS. The war is still going on here. Now, the Obama administration may think they've solved this problem by simply drone killing terrorists and not capturing them anymore, so there's no effort to get more information out of them. But this issue isn't going to go away, and the question of how do we get people to talk so that we can save lives. I mean, at the heart of it, either you believe this saved lives or it didn't. And I guess the argument of the administration, the argument of the Senate Democrats, is that, well, whatever good it did wasn't worth the price. And for all we know, it could be our own lives that were what was saved by that effort.
Jim, quick transition, because you set up the third martini perfectly. But in terms of what we may get out of this report, if in fact the Senate Intelligence Committee was honest, we may see, and you referred to the drones, the fact that a lot of what was roundly condemned by the left during the Bush years, a lot of that may still be going on, not the waterboarding necessarily, but a lot of these other things the civil libertarians were absolutely aghast by, and that's one of the reasons they voted for Obama. And it turns out in a lot of these different ways, it might not be as different as they hoped.
Yeah, we still have the extraordinary rendition policy in place. I think that was a very legitimate point of contention, the idea being that apparently some forms of interrogation are jobs Americans won't do. So we have to export our captured terrorists to other countries that have different standards, shall we say. There's a part of it says, like, if the information is worth getting, it's worth getting by Americans. You're right that this is a state that it became, very much that transition that Kerry went through. We talked in that first martini. It's all very easy to kind of, criticize from the outside. But once you are in charge and you are the person who's responsible for the protection of Americans, all of these, tactics and techniques and methods that you once demonized suddenly look a lot more useful and realistic to you once you're on the inside, and you'll be the one blamed if you fail to protect Americans.
All right, on to the crazy martini now, which refers to drones, but in thankfully a much more lighthearted way compared to what we've already been talking about here. Mistletoe madness. Turns out a moment of awkwardness wasn't the worst that could happen when a popular family restaurant chain unleashed indoor aircraft with the mission of prompting diners to kiss on camera. TGI Friday's much-hyped mobile mistletoe drones drew first blood in their New York City debut on December 4th at the chain's beloved Sheep's Head Bay location when one of them hit our intrepid photographer right in the face. The two remote-controlled helicopters dangling sprigs of mistletoe were intended to spread holiday romance, but one of them flew out of control and clipped courier photographer George Benvenuto in the nose with one of its spinning uncovered blades. So, Jim, I guess they've gone mainstream now, but you got to take out an extra insurance policy to go eat at some of these places.
There are some folks who might say, your first mistake, going to eat at TGI Fridays. So the mistletoe drone that flies around has mistletoe and you are supposed to kiss underneath it and hopefully you don't get a hellfire missile to the face. But so you have this drone flying around. Thank God they didn't use drone waiters. Bringing over your chicken fingers and honey mustard sauce or something like that and splat, right into you. It was a photographer who said, quote, it literally chipped a tip off my nose. It took off part of my nose and cut me here right under my chin. This is a drone failure. Now, we don't know exactly whether this was an intentional effort on the part of sleeper agents within TGI Fridays or whether ISIS managed to capture control of the drone and fly it around. I had mentioned this in the Morning Jolt a few weeks ago, that apparently somebody had gotten one of their drones for their kids, taken it out to a certain parking lot. The drone went up, and then for whatever reason, whether it was interference from the signal, it just lost control and it just went zoop, crashed into a building and crashed down. And he said that At some point, somebody's going to have a terrible accident with one of these portable drone things. That they are not as easy to control as everybody hopes. There's, you know, I mean, part of the other uncovered propellers, which are spinning around, and, you know, that's kind of a potential, you know, like it's a flying object that could, you know, crash into you. So I got to tell you, I'm just going to stay away from that TGI Fridays. If you want mistletoe, you can just put it up on the ceiling or put it up in the doorway. It's perfectly fine. Mistletoe drones are one of those ideas that really never should have gotten off the drawing board.
Here's the best part. You know, you go to a restaurant, if you don't get the meal exactly the way you like it, your steak's cooked too rare, too well. Oh, absolutely. Customer's always right. We'll get right on that. Not in this case. Drone operator David Quinones said an accident like this had never happened before and even blamed the reporter for the bloodshed. Quinones had encouraged our reporter to let him land the smaller of the two aircraft on her hand, but she flinched when the 10-inch drone touched down. And he said that is what caused the four-bladed flying machine to careen into the face of our photographer nearby. So it's your own fault, people.
The drones can sense fear, you're saying. They can smell the fear on you, and thus they will attack. And that's what – who thought this was a good idea? Who's saying, you know what our restaurant needs? Flying objects hovering over you and demanding that you kiss and things like that. Yeah, that's a terrible idea, TGI Fridays. You know what I'd really just like? Some service, okay? Just get to my, there's actual people coming up, not surly, ask me what I'd like to drink as soon as I sit down, and just focus on the basics. None of this high-tech stuff, because it's not really what people come for to a restaurant for, and it's a lot safer, I think.
Yeah, just stick to your $12 burgers. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Friends, don't let friends drink a drone.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Jim will be back on Thursday. Join us again tomorrow, though, for the Wednesday edition of the 3 Martini Lunch.